Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Dr. Suzanne Stock, board-certified specialist in orthodontics. Dr. Stock is pleased to provide braces and Invisalign for children, teens, and adults in Iowa City and across Southeast Iowa. More online at drssortho.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today, and it's nearly time for peonies to bloom in Iowa. So that's what we're going to start with today. And with me is Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University. Hello, Cindy.
Good morning.
And Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. Hello, Richard.
Good morning.
Thank you both for being here today. And Richard, we were just talking a couple weeks ago about how we didn't think the peonies were going to bloom till after Memorial Day this year. And now they look like maybe they're right on track.
Like they might. Mm-hmm. I think some will, some may not. But they've only got a few more days. But I think some will. We're supposed to have temperatures in the 70s and 80s, and that should be favorable. So I'm thinking most should be, a few may not. But
so peonies in Iowa, if we didn't have the wild rose as our state flower, this would be my nomination for state flower, honestly.
It's a nice one.
It is. And we see them everywhere. We see them on farmsteads. We see them in yards, in the city. Why do we have so many peonies in Iowa?
They were highly prized. Even as early settlers, they would kind of carry these little small bits of peonies west. So they've been highly prized for a really long time.
And they live for a really long time,
they
right?
They live for a really long time. They don't require a lot of care and maintenance. So they're kind of easy to grow, and they look good. They also, you know, bloom around Memorial Day. So a lot of people have planted them in cemeteries and other places to remember those who have passed. So and they live for a long time in those cemeteries, generations, in fact.
So well, I live in a 120-year-old farmhouse, mm-hmm. and I've got peonies out front. And often I think, I wonder how long those peonies
right.
have been there.
You can go to places where the farmhouse isn't there anymore and still see the peonies because they last that long, and they're just that beautiful.
And they really do seem to thrive in
mm-hmm.
Iowa.
They do. They do very well, even though they're not native. They do really well in the Midwest.
So how many different varieties of peonies are there? We see, you know, a lot of them, the pinks and the purples and the whites, but how many different varieties could we plant?
They're of the main type that we have, which is the standard kind of herbaceous peony, there are thousands upon thousands of cultivars. It's really difficult to kind of know how many are actually out there. I would say easily there's probably, you know, 10,000 different cultivars that could be available. But the standard herbaceous peony that we think of is only one of four types that are possible that we could grow.
What are the other types?
The other types, people have seen the fern leaf peony before. This one is also highly prized and is passed down from generation to generation. It's the one that has a really fine foliage and usually a dark red flower, and the first usually to bloom. Then we also have the tree peony, which is a woody shrub. So the stems actually survive the winter. The plants get about 3 to 5 feet tall in Iowa, and it has these really large blooms that are tons of colors, not just the pinks, the whites, the purples, or the reds that we see in the typical herbaceous peonies, but we also get lavenders and coral colors and yellow in those big flowers that are a little bit later than the standard peony.
And how big do the trees get?
Yeah, they're not very big. It's more shrub-like.
All right.
They're called tree peony, but they only get maybe 3 feet.
Tree by comparison.
Tree by comparison. Tree for a toddler, maybe. we're looking at, you know, 3 to 5 feet tall. So it's the tallest I've seen in Iowa is about 4 to 5 feet.
All right. And there's more left, right?
One more left, and that's the hybrids between the herbaceous peonies and the tree peonies, and they're called intersectional hybrids or Ito hybrids because the guy who did it was named Ito. And it has a lot of the habits like the herbaceous. They often die back down to the ground. They're really durable. They're very hardy, but they bring in some of those yellow flower colors that you can get from the tree peony and the supersized flowers.
Do all of the different varieties do well in Iowa?
Yes. they all do really well. I think you have to remember with the tree peonies that this is a woody plant, that you want to be careful in cleaning it up. It's a very slow grower. With the intersectional hybrids, there are some that do have a little bit of wood at the base, so you have to kind of be aware of that. But yeah, if they're getting full sun and a fairly good, well-drained soil, they almost all do incredibly well.
What are some of the problems that peonies can encounter?
The biggest problems are when peonies don't bloom. That's when we hear or have a lot of questions, when peonies don't bloom. And that usually happens because they're in too much shade, because they need quite a bit of sun. Like I said, 6 hours of sun to do well. They may be planted too deeply. For some reason, those herbaceous peonies know when they are more than 2 inches too deep. When their buds are more than 2 or 3 inches deep, they know, and they just send up beautiful foliage and no flowers. And then we also have sometimes some problems with high nitrogen fertilizers that might prevent bloom, or even maybe a really late frost that might kill some of the flower buds as they're forming. Really, there's not too many problems.
What about powdery mildew?
Yeah, powdery mildew we see on the foliage in the summer. And it's unsightly, but it doesn't usually kill the plant.
All right.
And that's a recent thing. We didn't see this 10 or 15 years ago. We did not see it. But it has become more and more common in the last 10 to 15 years, and especially common when they're growing in partial shade. So if that's the situation, if they're growing in partial shade, if you move them to full sun, you may see less of it. But it's been a fairly recent thing. They look awful, but it doesn't kill them. So.
All right. Well, and speaking of moving peonies to full sun, when is the best time to transplant peonies and how?
Well, usually transplanting means dividing or digging them up and then moving them to a new location or separating them. This is usually best done in September, late August through September. That gives the plant a month or more to reestablish a new root system in preparation for winter. It may not bloom well the following spring after a move or after being divided, but it usually survives quite nicely.
And how do you know that a peony plant is healthy enough to be divided?
Well, you look for a plant that has plenty of stems and that has plenty of buds and plenty of leaves. And usually it's performing pretty nicely, I would say. It may have some powdery mildew and maybe you're moving it into more sun, but you still have a full complement of kind of leaves or stems. And so you have a pretty vigorous plant.
And if you dig up a plant to divide it, do you divide it in half? Can you divide it in more pieces?
You can divide it into more pieces. We usually say with peonies, go big. So the pieces need to be fairly large size. You need, 3 to 5 buds that produce those new stems and leaves and flowers for next year at just a couple of inches below the surface of the soil. And if you've got that, it collection of buds with each division, it should do well.
All right, and even bloom the next year?
Maybe not. Maybe. That's one of those things. It may not bloom well the first year after transplanting or dividing, but usually it's okay by the second year. Peonies also have a really coarse root system, so it's hard to just kind of tease them apart. You almost always have to cut them apart.
Be a little brutal. Huh?
Yeah.
Is dividing the best way to propagate?
That's probably the best way that homeowners can propagate peonies. That's how they do it a lot, and then some of the nurseries as well. The tree peonies are usually grafted, however.
Growing them from seed is very, very difficult.
Right.
And they're not going to be true to the parent. It may take a year or two for the seeds to germinate, so it's very, very difficult.
Right. And most kind of the herbaceous peonies, they don't produce viable seed anyway because they're usually a hybrid.
I want to talk about ants, because you can have ants without peonies, but you can't seem to have peonies without ants.
Yes.
Why do ants love peonies so much?
The flower bud, as it's budding, as it's starting to get bigger, produce a little bit of nectar right on the edge. So it's a little sweet nectar. And the ants farm the peonies for the nectar. So it's a nice kind of relationship. to get that pollinator nearby or one of the pollinators nearby. So the ants like it. They farm it and they will fight over it, you know, making sure that they get as much of that as possible. But it's not required for that flower to open.
But they're not doing any harm.
They're not doing any harm. Having a peony, even with ants on it next to your house, is not attracting ants into your house. It's just the ants are everywhere, and they're just, they're taking, you know, advantage of the situation. Because everyone likes a little sweet treat every once in a
and
while.
If you cut a few flowers and bring them inside, you're bringing in ants, too.
you could possibly. It's easy to wash off, though. So just wash them off before you bring them in, and everything's good.
All right. And I mentioned their aroma. I love the smell of peonies. It's such a strong perfume. And when they bloom, they're so spectacular. But these blossoms do not last particularly long, do they?
They don't. If you can cut them and put them in water as quickly as possible, then you can enjoy them for a week. Flower farmers or farmer florists, as sometimes they're called, they'll harvest them in bud when the buds are kind of that marshmallow stage, so they're a little bit soft, so they know the petals are fully formed, and then they open fully indoors, and then you get at least a week. But yeah, stretching it to 2 weeks is kind of tough for peonies as a cut flower.
And of course, the thunderstorm's always about to come.
Yes.
So and when the forecast tells you that your peonies are going to get battered, it's exactly the right time to pick as many of them as possible and move them inside. With the blossoms, if you leave them outside after they've bloomed, do you need to deadhead them?
It's best. Some peonies will try to produce seed, and some peonies might. So if you can prevent them from producing that seed, which is pretty impossible to germinate or doesn't do well, then they're putting that extra effort or energy back into the plant and the foliage and getting larger, and so you have better blooms next year.
All right. So it's not a requirement, but it's good practice for almost
always.
Every flower. All right. We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. We've been talking about peonies so far this hour, but of course, Richard and Cindy will answer your questions about any of the plants in your life. Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University. Richard Geron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. You can join the conversation by calling 866-780-9100, tweet us at Iowa Public Radio, or send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is Talk of Iowa.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from Dr. Suzanne Stock, board-certified specialist in orthodontics. Dr. Stock is pleased to provide braces and Invisalign for children, teens, and adults in Iowa City and across Southeast Iowa. More online at drssortho.com.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today. With me, Richard Geron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist, and Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University. They are here to answer your questions. 866-780-9100. You can tweet us at Iowa Public Radio. You can send email to talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. We've been talking about peonies, but of course we'll answer your questions about any of the plants in your life. And let's start with Craig in Ames. Hi, Craig.
Yes, good morning to all three of you. How are you doing today?
Great. What's your question?
Well, I have a question. And I love my peonies, by the way. the ants are quite busy at it. I think they open them up. Is that right? It's part of their job?
No, actually, the ants don't do anything but get that little sweet nectar. That's it.
But you can think they're opening them up.
Sure, you can think they're helping.
Okay, I'm on board with that. And they do go fast, but we love our peonies. My question goes to the potential transplanting of a valuable tree in our yard. It's about 8 feet tall and about 4 inches in diameter at the base. I think it's a dogwood. It's a great tree. It's in the way of doing some more project work with an ISU alum, Bob West, in L.A., landscape architecture. I'm an ISU grad, but I'm not an expert in this. He told me that I need to check with the experts, of which you folks are experts in transplanting growing things should I wait until September, or is this something I can do now? Will I hurt the tree? And I just like a little advice on whether I need to wait until the growing season's over.
All right, so transplanting a dogwood tree. Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Craig. What do you guys think?
That size, you're probably going to need a tree spade.
Right.
A big tree spade. And as far as the time to do it, or times, typically early spring before bud break, before they start to leaf out, would be a good time. And also fall after leaf drop. You don't want to do it right now when they're basically leafing out. It would be a very difficult time to do it right now. So if they can wait, possibly do this maybe late October, early November.
All right, Craig, that sounds like a big project. Good luck with that. Michelle's on the line next in Des Moines. Hi, Michelle.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. I had a question about my cherry tree. She is 4 years old. She's self-pollinating. And this is the second year that I've got lots and lots of little cherries on there budding out. And last year, within a day and a half, the birds came and took them all. So this year I want to prevent that. And I was wondering if it would be a good idea. I purchased the tree net from Lowe's, way too heavy. What if I put tulle around it? It would still get sunlight and keep the birds off of it.
Okay, so protecting the cherries.
Right. Tulle would be a good idea. It's probably a little more expensive than netting because you might have to buy quite a bit of it.
And it could be really pretty, too.
It could be. It could be very wedding-ish since the wedding is coming up this weekend. It could be very nice, and it will allow some sunlight in. My concern is you probably even don't want to put the tulle or the netting up until the cherries are a little bit closer to being taken or ripe. You want them to develop as closely as possible.
You could try some scare devices that you hang in the tree. They might help. You can buy these at garden centers. They typically have big eyes on them, or
like the big blow-up balls.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Or they're shaped like an owl. Mm-hmm. You could try those. They may help.
All right. And do you feel like birds are the biggest threat to cherries?
Usually not. My theory was, yes, I'll eat some. So we're going to share with the birds. But usually it's just a small number.
All right. The biggest problem on my cherry trees are the spotted fruit flies.
Ah.
the birds seem to leave them alone.
Wow.
Good luck, Michelle. Thanks a lot for your call. Jean is on the line next in Osage. Hi, Jean.
Hello. I have a mound of ants in my yard, and I wonder what I can do to get rid of them.
I wouldn't worry a great deal about them. But if they're a concern, I guess I would go out with the rake and simply rake the mound flat.
I see.
And if they do it again, I would go out there and rake the lawn flat. And
okay.
I think if you do that for a while, that should discourage them.
I see. And the peonies up here are only about a foot tall.
Oh.
It'll be a long time till we enjoy the peony.
Worth waiting for, though, right, Jean?
Yes, they are.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100 is the number. Neil is on the line in Cumming. Hi, Neil.
Good morning. I have a question on my garden soil. The soil is in pretty good shape right now, but I put a couple inches of compost on the top of it yesterday, and I'm going to plant. Should I till that in, or is it okay to plant right into the compost?
Till that in. Work it in nicely.
Okay.
All right.
That's the answer I needed.
Great.
Because if you don't, the compost may create an environment where the roots stay right near the compost. Mm-hmm. And that's not good long term.
All right. Next up, we've got Tom in Beaverdale. Hi, Tom.
How are we doing this morning?
Great.
I have about a 5 or 6 foot tall trellis that's anchored to what essentially is a window box out on my driveway, and I've got a couple clematis I was going to plant in there. And my question is, will they winter over if they're not planted in the ground, but they're planted in a round container?
Boy, they may not. And that's because the soil temperatures in the winter may get so cold it destroys the roots.
Uh-huh.
So what kind of size pot are we talking about?
Oh, it's probably maybe 24, 28 inches long and about 6 inches wide and probably about 6 inches deep.
Yeah, not big enough, I don't think. What you could try doing is bringing that indoors, maybe in the garage.
Uh-huh.
If you have an unheated garage, that might work. Or maybe putting it close to the house and then maybe mounding some straw around it over the winter.
Okay.
That might help. But if you just leave it outside unprotected, I think the plants are going to winter kill.
It sits right up against the east side of the house.
Okay. So what you could do maybe is, like I said, bring it in the garage, or maybe take some chicken wire fencing and place that around this and then fill that with straw in November. That might help.
I got you. Yeah, okay. I'll just drag it in the garage. That'll do it.
All right. Yeah, thanks a lot for your call, Tom. And there are some other lovely climbing, flowering, vining plants that are considered to be annuals in Iowa, right?
There are. There are plenty. Morning glories. You have nasturtiums. You have black-eyed Susan vines. There are plenty of other options if you want to have an annual in there instead of a clematis.
All right. Next, we'll go to John in Audubon. Hi, John.
Hello. How are you?
Good. What's your question?
Well, my wife and I are reclaiming an acreage, and I just would like to know what trees I can prune at this time of the year. We're trying to mow underneath them. I know I can't do oaks and fruit trees, but is there any other forbidden trees to prune at this time of year?
Now, I would wait a few more weeks before pruning, maybe toward the end of June or July. We don't like pruning when they're actually leafing out right now, okay? So later on, late June or July, and you can basically prune anything except oaks at that point.
Okay, very good.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. We're going to do a few email questions here. Our email address is talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. This is from Kelly in Dubuque. I have a 40-year-old, at least 40-year-old, lilac bush. The only lilacs that bloom are now at the very top. Can I have someone prune it way back to save the lilac bush? It's a refuge for birds. If I must remove it, what is a fast-growing bush or tree I can plant for birds?
It would be very difficult to remove if it's been there 40 years. They have a huge root system. It might take a day or two to get rid of it. So as far as to basically rejuvenate it, what I would be inclined to do is go out there next March and select three of the largest, oldest stems and cut those near ground level. And then come back the next year, do the very same thing. The following year, the same thing, and over a period of maybe 3-4 years, get rid of most of that old growth, encourage new growth in the base, and then you'll have a shorter plant that should have more flowers.
And then you also have maintaining those stems for the birds, and it's continuing to flower for you, so you don't really miss not having something there for a year or two.
And if there's dead wood in there, can you just cut that out?
That can come out anytime.
So pick three more living stems.
Yes, living old ones. Yes, big ones.
All right. And what would happen if she cut it all the way back?
Well, she can do that. Lilacs are pretty persistent. So I wouldn't do it now. But if they went out in March, they could cut it back to within like 3 to 4 inches of the ground. And it will grow back, but it won't bloom for maybe 2 or 3 years. They'll have to do quite a bit of thinning as it grows back because it's going to produce a lot of new shoots or stems.
All right, here's a question from Shadley. I have a clematis that is not looking so good. The first 2 years I had it, I let it grow free. It's a repeat bloomer through spring and summer in group 2, I believe. Last year, I cut it way back in the fall, and it bloomed beautifully. This past fall, I did not cut it back. It is blooming sparsely and on the old growth. Is it too late to prune it back?
It probably is a little too late to prune it back now. Sometimes we prune clematis back in that late winter, early spring time frame to kind of remove any of that dead. If it's a group two, if it blooms sporadically throughout, it has the ability to bloom on new growth as well. So just give it some time to get a little bit bigger and to grow a little more, and it will probably follow with some more blooms.
All right. And should they plan on pruning early next spring?
I think next spring's a good time, yeah, to prune. I don't like a lot of pruning in the fall, even on clematis. So, yeah, if they could wait until March or April, then that's a perfect time to prune.
All right, this is from Mike in Iowa City. I have a potted lemon tree that I overwintered in my cool, bright garage.
Nice.
It lost a lot of leaves, except on the ends of the branches, but it kept all the fruit that it set last year. Now that it's back outside, it's blooming along the bare branches. I'm wondering if there will be new leaves growing along the branches or if there will only be leaves on the new growth.
There should be branches and new leaves coming up all over the place now that it's outside and happy. And if it's blooming on those bare branches, then that means it's still alive and has the potential to produce many more leaves and flowers.
All right. And lemons.
And lemons. Yes.
All right. Let's go back to the phones. Derek is on the line in Iowa City. Hi, Derek.
Hi. Good morning. I have a question that was pretty similar to the last one. I have an indoor palm tree. Somehow the main stem became kind of compromised, and all of the leaves from the end here have fallen off, all but a couple. And at the same time, now from the base of that main stem, two new stems are coming up, and they're growing pretty vigorously. I feel like I should be exposing them to some direct sunlight or maybe removing that main stem. It's very long and twisty, but I really don't know what to do about it.
I would let the palm tree kind of be your guide. If it's sending up the new stems and it's doing it in this particular area, then something is going well. So I wouldn't change the conditions too much. You can remove some of the older leaves at the base, and they do have this kind of leaf that kind of sheath that kind of wraps around the base. So there's some pruning that it's possible in removing one or two of the older leaves, but I wouldn't remove too many. Do you know what kind of palm tree it is?
I don't. I rescued it from my mom. She was trying to starve it off because she wanted to use the pot from something else.
Oh, okay. Well, it sounds like it's a pretty resilient palm. So I would just kind of, palms do usually like a lot of light or as much light as you can give them. Water them sparingly. They like to be a little bit on the dry side. And now might be a good time to give it just a little bit of fertilizer because it's growing pretty well. And just wait and see what's developing.
Okay, so I shouldn't be focusing on giving these new shoots a lot of sunlight if they're not getting any right now.
Well, if it's producing new shoots and is it getting any light at all, it must be getting something.
It's getting something from the very end, those maybe three or four leaves on the end of the main stem. The new shoots aren't exposed to any light.
Oh, they'll get there. So they will grow up and they will find their place, I promise. So there's some light there somewhere. So they're going to be fine.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yep. Thanks for your call, Derek. Next up, Gary in Mason City. Hi, Gary.
Good morning. I have an espalier apple tree. It's a Gala variety, and I need to move it from one location to another. The wingspread of the espalier is about 10, 20 feet, and I want to know, should I prune those branches back before moving or leave them alone and just prune out what survives and doesn't survive? Or what are your recommendations?
Boy, that's going to be hard to move. I'm not sure it's going to work. If you were to try it, I guess I would wait and do it early next spring before it begins to leaf out. And I would probably cut it back by maybe 50% or so because it's just too large to move. I'm not sure it's going to actually make it or survive, but if the spread is like 15, 20 feet, that's a pretty huge tree. And I think you're going to have to cut it back, and it still may not survive because it has a huge root system. You're not going to be able to get most of it. It's going to have a tough time. But if you want to try, basically, very early in the spring, I'd cut it back by probably 50%.
Well, give me some exercise then. Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Let's try to slip in an email question here. Oh, here's a good one. How do you wash the flowers to help deant the blooms before bringing them inside?
You can, after you cut them, I usually just dip the whole flower stem, if it's in bud, into a bucket of water and just kind of drag, swish it through that water and then lift it out really quick and shake it. And that usually dislodges the one or two ants that might be on it.
All right. Here's a question from Steph, very similar to what we had earlier. I have a red twig dogwood that's gotten too big for the area I have it planted in and would like to move it to a new location. It's about 7 feet tall and 5 feet wide now. How and when should I do that? Sounds like another tree spade situation.
Well, they could probably do it by hand, but yeah. Again, right now is not the time. They'd have to wait till fall or very early in the spring. And I would just take some twine and start at the very base and kind of wrap it around so it's in a smaller space. And then dig it up and move it.
All right, we're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. It's Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. With me, Richard Duran, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist, and Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at ISU. And you're welcome to call. 866-780-9100 is the number. Email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. It's Horticulture Day today. With me, Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University, and Richard Duran, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. And you're welcome to join us. 866-780-9100 is the number to call. Email talkofiowa@iowapublicradio.org. Zach is up next in Ames. Hi, Zach.
Hey, how are you today?
Good. What's your question?
Okay, so I'm thinking about planting an apple tree, and I know a lot of the one varieties I'm looking at, you have to have a second pollinator with that. However, my question is, I also keep two beehives that'll be within 50 to 100 feet. So will that alleviate the need for the second tree, or do you have to have that separate kind of pollen?
You have to have that separate second type of pollen in the area. So they'll visit the trees if they're there, but if they're not, they'll stay on one tree most likely. And you're just getting self-pollination, which is not sufficient. So now if you have a crab apple, they typically will pollinate an apple because they are apples. They just have small fruit. So, but the trees have to be within typically 50 feet of one another. That's the main thing.
And they have to bloom at the same time.
Right. That shouldn't be a problem usually.
All right. Do I have time for a quick question?
Another one? Go for it.
My other one is, so I got suckered into buying a Chicago hardy fig. Is that going to ever do anything, or is that a waste of time?
That's a good question. I have one of those, too. And it did produce a fig, but I have it in a container, and I bring it in during the winter. It's
where is this peer pressure causing you guys to buy these fig trees coming from?
Because nothing tastes quite like a fresh fig.
Okay.
So, and growing up with big fig trees that you could have these, you know, big stripping off of them, it's something you miss. I'm trying it, and some people will go through the extra effort of making sure they mound up a bunch of soil and straw and other things around this fig to help it overwinter. And in mild winters, it will probably do quite well. It's never going to be the fig tree of the South.
All right. And so you're just going to bring yours inside.
I have mine in a container, and my husband cusses me every time we put that thing outside or pull it inside for the one or two figs that I get off of it. So, but I will still continue.
Do you share your figs?
No, I don't. Maybe I should.
Well, that might help. All right, Zach, thanks a lot for your call. Next, we've got Joe in Bluegrass. Hello, Joe.
Oh, hello there. How are you?
Good. What's your question?
Well, I have probably a dozen river birches I've planted on my property through the years. And last summer, one of the bigger ones, most of them are clump birches. And two of the trunks yellowed and lost their leaves halfway through last summer. And then it seemed like they were starting to get new growth, and I was hopeful. But this spring, those two limbs look very dead. They haven't leafed out. The rest of the tree looks fine, but those two limbs look dead right now. I'm just wondering, I know I need to cut them, but is the whole tree going to be a loss? You think it'll spread to the rest of the tree? And then I also have a couple other ones nearby that are yellowing this spring. and I'm fearful about them too. Is there any hope for them, or can I spray them? Or
well, I'm not sure what's going on. I don't think it's an insect problem. I don't think it's a disease problem. It could be a root-related problem, which you can't really do much about. They do like a soil pH below 7. And when you have an alkaline soil, they tend to be chlorotic, where the leaves are kind of a sickly yellow-green. That doesn't kill them directly, but it does weaken them. They also like a moist soil. And so when you have a very dry summer, that is stressful too. So there could be a number of things going on. As far as the chlorotic foliage, that's hard to correct because the pH is a very, very stable thing that it resists changing very, very stubbornly. So it's hard to do. So I think one thing I would probably do is obviously cut out the dead. And then if we have prolonged dry periods this growing season, I would be inclined to maybe water the tree to make sure it doesn't have to deal with drought stress, because it is native to floodplains. It likes a moist, well-drained soil. So when it's really dry, they tend to get stressed very quickly, and they will drop leaves in midsummer when it's dry. So keeping those leaves would be beneficial.
Okay. Could I ask a quick question about Japanese maples?
Okay.
Are there any varieties that are known to be much more hardy than others? I've had no luck with all kinds of ones I've bought. I've actually potted up a couple coral bark ones the last 3 years, and they do great in a huge planter that I bring inside in the winter. And I don't know how long I can keep them in containers, but is there any variety that's a lot more hardy than others?
Right. I have seen some varieties that are in more urban or protected areas, varieties like Blood Good. Is one that usually does okay.
I've tried that.
Yeah, it really depends upon your micro environment for those. So that's why many of us, and I have a couple of these in containers too, that I pull in and out every year because I know that it will survive that way.
Well, they've tripled in size and they're looking great. If I could just keep pruning it back, can I keep it in the containers indefinitely, would you think?
You can. You can go up in the container every once in a while and do a little root pruning. I mean, these are trees that are commonly bonsaied as well. So we can keep them in containers for many years. It's just...
Okay.
Yeah, so that's probably your best option to have Japanese maples.
All right. Well, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Joe. Next up, we've got Brian in North Liberty. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Richard. I have a cherry tree we planted last fall, and it just got absolutely destroyed by some Asian beetles. Just put holes in every leaf, and I went to the garden center and got some stuff to pour on the tree to get rid of the Asian beetles, but not budding out very well. There's two buds that are starting on top, and I don't know if it's going to make it.
Well, I would be inclined to give it a few more weeks. I'm not terribly optimistic, but it's still possible, and so I wouldn't do anything until probably early June or so. Give it some time. There's not much you can do to help at this point, though. It's just going to take some time. And if, let's say, by mid-June, it still is not leafed out very well, then realistically, it probably won't survive.
Okay. All right. That's all I needed. Thank you.
Yep. Thanks a lot for your call. Next up, let's go to Mary in Altoona. Hi, Mary.
Hi. I have a cedar tree that volunteered in a fence row. It's now about probably 5 feet tall, maybe a little bit taller. And my husband is ready to move it over Memorial Day to someplace other than right by this fence post where we want it. Is it too late in the season to move it?
Again, it would be difficult at this time of year, yes, during the growing season. They're tough plants. But it would be better if maybe you could wait and do it possibly in early to mid-September.
Okay.
Where we've gotten through the summer, we've gotten through the heat, the humidity of summer, and as we get into September, The weather conditions are more moderate. And if you did it then the tree would still have some time to get established before winter. So maybe September or so, if you want to try.
Okay. Okay, if we didn't do it in September, if we waited until next spring, it's getting bigger all the time, though. That's the problem.
Right.
When's the best time to do it in the spring?
Before growth begins, typically early to mid-April.
Okay. All right. I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
Yep. Thanks a lot for your call, Mary. Next up, we've got Kim in Davenport. Hi, Kim. Oh, I don't think Kim is there. All right. Let's do a couple email questions. Art in Edgewood says, I grow my cucumbers using a 4-foot by 16-foot metal cattle panel as a trellis. Last year, my cucumbers developed a bad case of bacterial wilt. I'm planting cucumbers in a different bed this year. Would spraying the metal trellis with a chlorine bleach solution be advisable, or is there anything else I can do to prevent bacterial wilt?
Shouldn't have to do that, no.
All right, it should just have gone through the winter and...
Well, it's typically spread by an insect, actually. Bacterial wilt is.
So the trellis has nothing to do with it.
It shouldn't, no.
So you can have a dirty trellis and it'd be okay.
Okay. Here's one from Neil. Creeping Charlie's taking over my backyard in West Des Moines, and I'm wondering how to feel about it. I'm happy to see something succeed on our sloping, shaded backyard, but I miss the grass we had. My wife and I expect to live in the house for 5 more years, and I'd like to know if I should be trying to promote grass growth instead of this creeping ground cover. In short, will this affect our home's value when it's time to sell?
That's difficult to say, but I think I would choose one. And just go with it. It is difficult to grow grass in the shade, but it can be done. You need specific types, like the fine leaf fescues, creeping red fescue, hard fescue, chewing fescue. They typically do pretty well in the shade. As far as getting rid of the creeping Charlie or ground ivy, it's best to do that in the fall. It typically takes 2 applications about a month apart. The most effective compound is triclopyr, which is T-R-I-C-L-O-P-Y. And so if you do it then, you can get rid of it. Now, if it's been there for quite some time, the ground ivy or creeping Charlie, if it has been there for quite some time, it's going to flower and produce a lot of seed. So in that situation, if it's been there for a long time, it's going to be difficult to keep it out of there permanently because it's going to come back from seed, unfortunately. So... if that's the situation, they might want to live with the ground ivy, possibly.
I never thought I'd hear you say that, Richard. I know how much you hate it. Would it possibly be a situation, given that their grass hasn't grown well, to try something else, like a shade-tolerant ground cover?
That would be a possibility, too. There are some nice ground covers that would do... Now, you can't walk on it, but some nice ground covers that would do well. For example, there's one called Creeping Lily Turf. Creeping Lily Turf. It's a grass-like plant, grows about 8-10 inches tall. It's a nice ground cover. It spreads by underground stems or rhizomes. We have some on campus on a bank. It keeps the bank very stable, very low maintenance. The only thing they ever do basically is mow it basically in early spring when it kind of looks tacky.
All right. We've got Annie on the line next in Union. Hi, Annie.
Hi there. Thank you so much for taking
sure.
my call. I live south of Marshalltown, and I have been rescuing peonies, including some that were 50 or 60 years old
nice.
Over the last couple of years. So I now have a patch that's about 100 square feet.
Wow.
Yeah.
You need
my
to send
peony
pictures.
Plantation.
Yeah, that sounds amazing.
Well, I grew up in Western Ohio, and the county next to mine was the peony capital of the world.
Oh.
And they used to have peony festivals and parades. It was wonderful.
Oh, sounds nice.
Anyway, so I also have lots of ants. And the way I'm dealing with my ants is I bought Dr. Eleanor's book of common ants.
Oh.
And I'm studying my ants because that's a lot more fun than killing them.
I agree. They're kind of interesting.
Yes, and it's a great book. And there is also Dr. Eleanor's book of common spiders,
Ooh.
Which is also wonderful.
Nice. Well, thanks for the recommendation, Annie. I love your attitude. Next up, let's go to Randy on the line in Victor. Hi, Randy.
Hi there. So is it too late to plant potted cherry or plum or anything like that? And I got mud holes on either side of my driveway that was redone, and I got a lot of mosquitoes in there. I don't want to have to fight those.
Well, as far as...
I guess my important thing to talk about is the planted plant. Can I plant the
right. as far
green gage
as,
or
Greengage is a nice plum.
Yeah. As far as container-grown trees, you can plant those almost any time during the growing season. I would do as soon as possible, but since they're in containers, you can plant now. You could plant in early June. I would simply, if you want to plant them, do it as soon as you can. It's okay right now.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks a lot for your call, Randy. And let's finish out the hour with some email questions here. Mary in Coralville asks, can you please discuss how to transplant fern peonies? What are tips and tricks for them to thrive? And are they slow growing? They're really expensive. I bought a small one in May of 2017 for $40 from a local garden supplier. Mm-hmm. It did not grow last year. It did come back this year, but it's only about ping pong ball size. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing it will take some years before it will flower.
Yeah, this is probably the slowest growing of the peonies that we talked about. They are very slow, and it takes a while to kind of get them going. But they're also incredibly long-lived and really pretty durable. When transplanting them or dividing them, it's typically like the herbaceous peonies. Be careful in moving them. You want to move them when they're either dormant, or usually we try and do most of this transplanting and moving in early fall, sometime in September. And make sure that they're planted not too deep, so that root system is just a couple of inches below the surface of the soil. And then for the first 2 years after planting, make sure you give them water, especially in periods of drought.
All right, here's a question from Greg in Story City. I have a Honeycrisp tree that produces well, and it's about 8 feet tall. The major issue is protection of fruit from birds. They peck just enough to ruin the apple, then move on to another one. Looking for something that will work. I've tried netting for a couple of years, but wrapping the whole tree is really difficult. There are some birds that get tangled in the net and suffer for it. Oh. What are better options?
Boy, there aren't very many good options.
Right, the scare tactics.
The scare devices might help, and netting, basically, those two things. Some people use noise devices, but mm-hmm. the neighbors may not like that, so it may just be a visual scare device.
All right. This is from Diana. We have very mature maple trees in our yard close to the house. I've circled them with a layer of river rock about 3 feet around the trunk so we don't knock the trunk with the mower. Is that hurting my trees?
It's okay. I would prefer probably a wood chip mulch rather than rock, because rock is really hard to remove if you ever change your mind. So, but at least it keeps the lawnmower away, which is a good thing.
All right, Anna, we'll squeeze in one more here. Says, marigolds were my standby annual for two flower beds. Last year, earwigs stripped them of all the leaves overnight. I don't want to try marigolds again this year. What would be a good replacement? A little shade for some of the day, but mostly sunny.
How about zinnias? Try some zinnias. What do you think?
Or maybe begonias.
Or begonias.
Well, she's got two beds. Maybe zinnias and begonias.
Maybe a little bit of both.
All right. Thank you so much, Cindy Haynes.
Thank you.
Cindy Haynes, Associate Professor of Horticulture at Iowa State University. Richard Giron, thank you.
You're welcome.
Richard Giron, Iowa State University Extension Horticulture Specialist. And we will be back again next Friday with Horticulture Day on Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbie.